Whoops, I've been talking this whole time. I had no idea that the microphone wasn't on. That's a great start to this. This is exactly how, and do you know why that's how it started? It was because I said Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there, played a little bit of Chris Brown coming in. And, of course, that's how the kickoff goes. But want to welcome everybody in. Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Like I was saying, this is a day that, you know, typically I really enjoy. And I feel like a lot of people don't feel the same way about it. But, you know, that's why we've got Sports Talk Radio. So I'm here today. Give me a call, 381-1313. 381-1313, and I'll tell you what, if you're not excited about today, I know you were excited about yesterday, as the Kentucky Wildcats were able to stave off a late comeback by the Auburn Tigers, 82-80, and it gave Kentucky a much-needed win. Kentucky had dropped 7 of their last 8 games, and they pull off a win. An interesting thing I looked up yesterday, okay? And this is before going into the game, but it still has a lot of relevance. And it's something that really blew my mind. Kentucky, and still is, this is still the case, because Kentucky put up 82 points. And don't look now, but Kentucky's offense is, you know, really starting to roll. And of course, I'm looking at, if you ever go to ESPN.com and you look up their breakdown of the game, it just, you know, you go to UK Auburn and the scores and you click on the game and it gives you a list of game cast, recap, box score, play-by-play, team stats. They have this little graph where it shows the score of Kentucky and the score of Auburn all throughout the game. And early in the second half, Kentucky overtook Auburn and kept the lead for a long time. And then that dreaded and every... It's like every announcer has to talk about it now. It's that thing where I'm trying to think of a similar comparison. It's once something starts to be chatter and it's very popular to say, it becomes like an echo chamber. It's just that this person says this, like Pat Mahomes, greatest quarterback I've ever seen, greatest quarterback I've ever seen, greatest quarterback I've ever seen. Tom Brady, he's the GOAT, he's the GOAT, he's the GOAT. Whatever you want to call it. And those are more, I guess, longer term examples, but. Every announcer now likes to say, Kentucky in the last 4 minutes, this is where they like to collapse. Kentucky in the last 4 minutes, this is where they like to give up the lead and get blown out. They've been outscored by 40 points in the last 4 minutes of games this year. It's become every announcer. It's just like they say it and they're like, boy, look how analytical I am today. And it's, you know, I'm not too mad about it. It's just, you know, it's annoying. Because we're Kentucky fans, and what did Kentucky usually do in those games? They lose. And in the final, click my little cursor there. Yeah, in the final minute of the game, they ended up tying it up. They tied it up with 46 seconds left after Alan Flanagan, which, you know, Alan, I'm sure he's a nice kid. But there's not a, there is... few a basketball name that sounds less like a basketball name than Alan Flanagan. But Davion Mintz comes up and nails just a crucial three. Gives Kentucky the lead. Then, of course, there's the foul that everybody's mad about. Like, you know, I kind of understood it. I'm not going to lie. I kind of understood the foul at the end of the game where the three-point shot. And I get it. Don't do it. That's number one. Let's preface it. You can't stand at the three-point line with 2 seconds left in a four-point game, or was it a five-point game, and stick your hands straight up and down. Even though you're trying to do what's right, just let him take the shot. The time that it takes the ball to get to the basket, that, I doubted they were going to get a chance to score anyways. But, you know, and by the way, I want to make sure I've got something absolutely concrete here. Okay, it was a foul on Keon Brooks. It was 77-82. Okay, it was a five-point game. Yes, yes, yes. With 1 second left, the foul on Keon. This is the reason why it doesn't bother me. Because it was a five-point lead. Okay, if it was a one-point lead and he fouled a three-point shooter, then I'm probably much more upset. It's one of those things where you kind of win and you forgive, and for the most part, you forget. You are trained your whole life as a young person playing basketball to put your hands up on a shooter. It is instinctual to do it. So to blame Keon, I get it. I get that you don't want to foul a three-point shooter at that part of the game. Yeah. But when you're a basketball player, you got to understand, it's like, what do you do in those situations? Well, I put my hands up and I contest the shot. And it's not even like, let's be honest, it wasn't a foul on the shot. It wasn't a foul. And the reason why is because the shot that Thor, who, I mean, he had a good game. But when you're jumping into the player, it's like the one thing about the NBA. Well, there's a lot of things people hate about the NBA. I'm not one of those people, but this is one. It's how they draw fouls. And it's like you can't play defense. Like in the NFL, they say you can't play cornerback anymore because all the rules favor the offense. Well, in the NBA and in college basketball now, apparently, can't play defense. Everything's such a ticky-tack foul. But when a guy runs and jumps into a standing defender, that's the defender space. That was Keon's space. So, ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero with you. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. You can follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex. You can follow me at Angelo Media Lex. So give me a call. Give me a tweet. More on to the game. I thought that Kentucky's performance yesterday was a sign of kind of future things to come, simply because you look at what the offense has done in recent games in terms of three-point shooting efficiency, including, B.J. Boston, and you see positive things. You see Isaiah Jackson getting a lot more minutes, which I do enjoy that. Let's go to Isaiah Jackson for a second, because that's something that Sean Vinsel and I talked about on the UK Game Day pregame show yesterday, which I was fortunate enough to do with Matthew Lawrence. Todd Lanter was on an early birthday trip, so his birthday's tomorrow. Happy birthday, Todd. Me and Sean, we had talked about Isaiah Jackson and his laboring minutes, because I believe he is at one point seventh on the team in minutes, even though in 20 minutes he led the team in rebounds, and he had 3.5 blocks plus steals. He averaged 50% from two. All these, pretty much all of those numbers blew out everybody else's. Like I said, team leader in rebounds, 3.5 blocks plus steals. That was more. No other player on the team was even close to two combined steals and blocks a game, and Isaiah was doing 3.5 in 20 minutes. And then the 50% from two, just an efficient guy. So what did he do yesterday? He got to play 31 minutes. He went 5 of 8 from the field, but even more important, he went 8 of 11 from the free throw line. His 11 free throw attempts, 7 more than the second highest, which was Olivier Saar at 4. He had 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, 18 points, leading scorer on the team yesterday. Seems like that Isaiah Jackson kid is pretty, pretty good. Yet I still have friends that say Isaiah Jackson's not that good. He can't score, leading scorer on the team. Okay, not dynamic enough on offense. Able to get 11 free throws. Okay. Then he gets 11 rebounds, 2 blocks. A slow day at the blocks and steals office for him. So, yep. But, whatever they say, whatever, don't be like me and surround yourself with friends like that. They're not good for you. BJ Boston, 17 points, 5 of 12 from the field, 5 of 8 from three-point range. That's where it's pretty, I mean, he's really come along in that area. I said yesterday that if we got this version of Isaiah Jackson and BJ Boston at the beginning of the year, Kentucky would be 111-0. Don't check the schedule. Completely true. But BJ really starting to turn around. 2-2 from the free throw line. He's still really struggling at the two-point range. But his offensive improvements are well worth it. He had three assists, no rebounds. But here's the big one. He had 4 steals and a block yesterday. I mean, that's the type of production you want out of BJ. If he can make threes and cause, you know, essentially 5 turnovers a game, that's 15 points and 5 possession enders. We'll take that, BJ. Thank you. Thank you. That's perfect. He's really come on. I think we're all really happy about that. Davion Mintz only 3 for 8. But one of those was a huge slam dunk, and then obviously the absolute clutch three-pointer at the end of the game to secure Kentucky's win. Devin Askew's growing up before our eyes. I said it after the Arkansas game the other night. He was really fiery with his guys in the huddle, and then he could really – on the offensive end, he was running the team with such confidence. I think he's finally gotten there. I really liked what I've seen out of him. Give me a call, 381-1313. That's 381-1313. I'm going to step aside for just a second, but give me a call. I'll put you on the line, and we're going to talk coming up here. We got so much more to talk about this morning. Hope you are enjoying it as much as I am. This is Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Can we just talk? Can we just talk? Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, tell him just listen. Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero with you this morning. Give me a call at 381-1313. That is 381-1313. Here on the line, we got open lines at the moment right now. You can give me a tweet at ESPN Radio Lex, or you can give me a tweet and a follow at Angelo Media Lex. Got my first caller up on the day. Call it, what's your name?
Sean,
good to hear from you, buddy. What's up?
What's going on?
Not much, man. Just enjoying this Kentucky win. I don't know if you know this. They're few and far between to come by these days.
They are. I tell you what I'm hoping. You know what I'd like? I'd like to win the home games from here out. And I think they're going to play. I heard yesterday that last weekend they're either going to play South Carolina or Detroit. So I think there's one more game that we're not talking about.
Oh, okay.
But I'd like to win home games, and I'd like to play Tennessee and Ole Miss. Hey, we can lose them, but just lose them close and stay healthy and take the chances in Nashville. You know what I mean?
If we get it, hopefully.
I'm not even focusing on wins and losses at this point. Just get better than that.
Yeah, there's no point in it. There's no point in it at all. They got Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Man, Sean, I don't know if it's because of the losing or because that with the COVID that we don't – that time doesn't – just essentially exist, but there's only 5 games scheduled, and then the extra one you're talking about, that's it? That's all that's left?
It's almost over, man. No, I just heard about that they think they're going to make up South Carolina or Detroit, because before that I thought we only had 2 home games left, so it's about gone, man.
That is so
strange. Hey, I got
strange.
One for you. Can I ask your opinion?
Yeah, that's why I'm here, Sean. That's why I'm here. What do you need?
And that's what I've always loved about you. you always hear... message board stuff. I'm a big internet guy. When they talk about, and you've heard it, well, radio too, about what if Ashton Higgins to come back to this year's team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you saw he got cut by the T-Wolves yesterday,
right? I did. Apparently, he violated protocols of COVID protocols.
And it got me to going back and thinking about how last year ended with a little bit of weirdness about, remember, he had the South of Florida game and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Was Ashton Hagans, in your opinion, was he even welcomed back this year? Just say you have to give your opinion.
Let me say it like this. There's two different. I'm going to answer that question. Yeah, I think he would have been welcome back. Do I think that people? I had noticed that in the last 12 hours since he got cut, they said, "Man, would Hagans made a difference on this year's team?" How? How would it, I don't see how he would have made that big difference because he couldn't shoot, and that's the,
no, I was going to say he wouldn't have made shooting any better. That's
the one thing that this team needs. Like if Emmanuel quickly came back, then you know all cards are on the table at that point. But we're talking about Ashton Hagans. He was a guy that, I mean, I liked him when he came in, but I was falling out of love with him pretty quickly.
No, I agree. And it just got me, again, it's funny how people look at people differently just a few months later sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, with this season, it's like anybody is, you know, a golden rose at this point if you come back. Like, Derek Willis, imagine if he was on this team, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think? Are you one of those people that subscribe to the Hagans theory or what?
No, I don't think I do. You could argue maybe one of these close games he would have made a play. We'd have another win, but that's about as much as you could do.
Yeah, see,
you know
I think that Davion, like if we had to take Davion on a floor for Ashton with this team specifically, I'd rather have Davion out there.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
He can shoot. Yep. Is there anything else on your mind this morning, Sean?
Oh, let's beat Vandy Wednesday, and like I said, stay healthy and see what they can do down there in a couple weeks, man.
Yep. Hopefully, you know, Scottie Pippen Jr. doesn't come and tear us up too bad. So
we did yesterday. Yeah, all right, buddy. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you, buddy.
See ya.
Give me a call, 381-1313. That's 381-1313. And Sean had mentioned something interesting. He said, talked about what if Hagans could have made a play towards the end of the game. And one of those things I'll get to here in a second, we got another caller on the line. Caller, what's your name?
Jim from Franklin.
Jim, what's going on, Jim? Holler at me.
You know, I heard you talking about Ashton Hagans.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he had his meltdown in the Tennessee game last year,
uh-huh.
I was kind of done with him at that point because it was you could tell that he and Kyle Perry were not on the same page. He wasn't on the same page with the rest of his teammates.
No, not at all.
So, you know, I'm sorry the Timberwolves cut him.
Me
know,
too.
But,
yeah.
You know, I don't wish nothing. I don't wish anything bad for the kid. But getting to yesterday's game, you know, you have steadily said that Jackson needs to be playing more,
mm-hmm.
and that was the key in the game yesterday. And I would swear he blocked more than four shots.
They said he blocked two. He blocked two is what they said. It seemed like he blocked nine, like 100. What yeah. He's so active.
Well, and the ones he didn't block, he altered.
Yes, yes.
So,
he's Jim, the thing about the Isaiah Jackson, too, is if you look at one of the big downsides of him, people say, is that, oh, he doesn't really have an offensive game. And it's like, you know, when he got the more minutes when he stayed out of foul trouble, going 8 of 11 from the free throw line, that is 8 tremendously big free throws to hit.
Right. What if, without those 8 free throws, we don't win the game.
No.
So it's just that simple. And if you go back a couple of years ago, we had a guy named Marcus Lee play for us, ended up transferring out to the West Coast someplace.
I do remember.
If you looked at the analytics of that kid, he had the highest rating on that team.
Oh.
And he wasn't playing either. And
yeah.
He wasn't playing either.
Yeah, wasn't the which team are you talking about? Because I remember are you talking about the 38-1 team he wasn't playing a lot on? Is that
it was the year after that.
The year after that, because I remember the year before it was the that Cinderella run with the, you know, quote unquote 40-0 team. That wasn't that when he came in there and he was making
yeah.
big plays in the tournament out of nowhere. It was like, man, Marcus Lee, where did he come from?
And yeah, you may be right. I'm old, man. I do well.
I am too. Trust me. I just remember that being his one big highlight here. And then yeah, he went out to Cal and everything. But see, that's a good point though, because what happens? And to me, to be fair, Jim, I've been a Jackson fan for like the entire season. So I when you compare him to Marcus Lee, I got a little heartbroken over it. But you're right. He got the we've talked ad nauseum. Give him more minutes. He led the team in scoring. Mm-hmm. He led the team in rebounds. He led the team by far in free throws made and free throws attempted. I don't see how the coaching staff, you know, specifically the head man, doesn't see, you know, more often or in prior games how valuable he is on the floor.
I'm wondering if the coaches talk about that stuff at all. I mean, because it doesn't seem to me that there's a lot of communication going on on that bench. Of course, right now with the COVID and all that, they're all sitting 6 feet apart. There can't be a whole lot of communication.
No. This is you're exactly right. This is a rough time. By the way, speaking of guys and minutes, so is it just our guy Dante Allen doesn't deserve anything nice anymore? You can't have a score. I mean, they scored 82 points without really any contribution from him. So I can't be insanely critical of it. But his minute situation has to be as weird as Isaiah Jackson's this year. I don't always understand it, Jim. I think I do. I think I have all the answers, and then I don't.
Well, I think he's a defensive liability. He makes a lot of defensive mistakes. Yeah. And, you know, once again, that's from where he sat out for 2 years. That's not anything to do with his ability as a player.
Right.
He sat out for 2 years. His shot is a little funky. It goes in a lot, don't get me wrong, and I'm not complaining about that.
Nope, you never can.
But it's, you know, where he releases his ball is a little bit forward in his stance. Should be a little more over his head. But, you know, like I say, he's not the leading three-point shooter on the team. Olivier Sarr is leading percentage-wise three-point shooter on the team.
And lately it's been B.J. Boston. Who would have thought that 10 games ago?
Oh, my goodness. He's all those Breakfast Club mornings seem to have done that kid good. I mean, you know the kids are trying. I mean, I can't quite figure out, well, you know, exactly what's going on, but you know, I saw a guy on Facebook. He posted after the game, "This is the worst shooting Kentucky team I've ever seen." I'm going, dude, a win is a win is a win, and beggars can't be choosers at this point.
That's what. Who was it? I don't know. It might have been. Yeah, Jeff came on after the show and was mad about, you know, something about the game, and it's like, man, just enjoy a win for once. Why would you come on being upset after a win? They're hard to come by this year.
You know, this has been a miserable year. I mean, it's not just us.
Nope.
I mean, it is not just us. Now, you know, make no doubt, would I love to see us make a run and get in the tournament by winning the SEC championship, which I think we can. Yeah, I think we can do that. Mm-hmm. I would not want to draw us in the tournament.
No.
Because our record does not indicate what our talent level is and what we can do on a given day.
Yeah, and if they can play with this shooting, if they can play more of that Nate Oates ball down at Alabama, we've got every athlete on the feet on the court is more athletic and higher rated and all of this. So if they can play the right type of basketball and be efficient at it, then yeah, who's going to stop them? And one last thing, I know this says a lot more about me as a person than I would like to reveal, but if we have to be bad so Duke can be terrible, sometimes it's a necessary evil.
I'm good with you. I'm still not over the Leitner shot.
I didn't even see it live.
I was out that night. I was at a bar. It was packed. There's maybe close to 1,000 people at this place.
Oh, wow.
When that shot went in, I put my beer down and walked out the door, and I looked around. There's a whole line of people right behind me. I said, yeah, that's kind of the way that it goes.
But, man.
Rick Pitino foreshadowed that. He said, you know, if somebody hits a last second shot like that on me, forget about the house, the glass being half full. That's a disaster.
Yep.
So
that's thank you for sharing that. That's an awesome story. Jim, thank you for coming on this morning, man. I appreciate you calling.
Hey, and listen, be careful, man. It's going to get really, really dicey tomorrow. Really dicey.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, yeah, I'll try to stay in after work.
6 to 12 inches of snow and ice, man. That's just exactly what I needed to hear.
No, that's the last thing I want. Hey, well, enjoy this one day left, because after that, it's just back to winter.
exactly. Nice. You have a good day, Angelo.
You too. Okay. Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye. All right, give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. I'm going to step aside just a second. When I get back, and we're going to talk more about maybe a little more about the game. It's up to you all. And then I've got a couple other news and notes from around sports that we can hit on, including a coaching staff change at the University of Kentucky. You're listening to Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313 to get in on all the sports conversation for you on a Sunday morning. I hope it's full of love, blessings on this Valentine's Day morning, and if not, if you're feeling a little down, just talk sports with me, man. That's what it's all about. And one of the things that I was talking sports, or who I was talking sports with is more correct, the other day was Sean Vinsel of Hoops Insight. He is a regular contributing guest to the UK Game Day pregame show. And last Saturday, we had a conversation on the air, and I was just kind of I hope he's not offended by this. He's a little bit of a nerd when it comes to basketball, and I am too, and that's why we get along so well. And he has all these stats that he likes to use, and all this game. He watches a lot of games to kind of get a feel for rotations, and then judges those rotations off of just how many points you give up and how many points you score together. And he listened to me when I said that, Sean, what player under the Cal Perry era would have the biggest swing on this Kentucky team? Again, this was in the midst of all the losing. I think a lot of people are happier today. And if you want to talk about the game from today, give me a call at 381-1313 or tweet me at Angelo Media Lex. Tweet the station at ESPN Radio Lex. Be sure to go follow at Angelo Media Lex. I said, which of the former Cats under Cal would give this team the biggest swing in terms of just winning? He said, well, that's interesting. I'm going to do an article about it. And I was like, cool. Now, we had come to the conclusion just off the basis that it'd be Anthony Davis. Not because Isaiah Jackson isn't good enough or that Olivia Saar, but fine. It's just that, well, Anthony Davis was that good. I think the answer surprised me. Okay. So, essentially, here's the rules that he made. It has to be, he said he could take any Wildcat from the past 10 seasons, and he can swap them out for any Cat who played at least 15 minutes. So, the only players that it pertained to were Olivier Saar, Keon Brooks, Devin Askew, Davion Mintz, Brandon Boston, and Isaiah Jackson. He assumed that you get the final year stats, usually your best year, and essentially just some other, technical jargons for possession, like how long they play on the floor, how much they use, taking away from other players, blah, blah, blah. But it essentially comes down to who had the biggest plus on offense and the biggest plus on defense. Combine those and you get a total of how many points added to the team did you give a game. So for an example, number two on this list. So think about all the Kentucky Wildcats, and I'll give you a second while I say this. Give yourself a second. All of the Kentucky Wildcats under Cal. All right. Think about all the great players that came through here, if you could choose one cat, who are you going to choose? And who are you going to swap out? So obviously you can't swap out Anthony Davis for Devin Askew, but you can swap out Sarr for Davis. You could swap out John Wall for Devin Askew. No, you could swap out Michael Kidd-Gilchrist for whoever small forward you want. Those are just some of the examples of what you can do. So he decided to pick 14 former Cats, okay? Essentially just guys from, you know, recent times, great ones. He just his basis. It would be hard for him to go through every single one. I mean, the guy has a job. What else is he supposed to do? But here are the Cats he chose. And I'm sure these names popped into your head as well. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Brandon Knight, Anthony Davis, surprise, surprise, Dron Lamb, Carl Anthony Towns, Tyler Ulis, Jamal Murray, my guy, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Bam Adebayo, PJ Washington, Nick Richards, and Emmanuel Quickley. Okay. He said, I only looked at swaps of players who could reasonably play the same position, and that's where I said the example of Davis and Askew. Okay. We both assumed that Anthony Davis was going to be the best option. Swapping Anthony Davis in for Olivier Sarr was worth 3.9 points per game just because you swapped those two out. Okay. It said that Davis had essentially was worth, trying to get exactly what he meant. I think it's just because of possessions and percentages. He was worth more than a point better than Sarr on offense, more than a point better on defense. But when you put it up to 72 points overall, when you encountered the possessions and whatnot, Anthony Davis was worth 72 points during this season, more than Olivier Sarr, which was 4 points a game. Could use that little margin. But it wasn't number one, and to be honest, it wasn't close. And this is what I was dearly, dearly surprised by. Obviously, you know, in the last couple games, it might not sound as pressing, but if you take out the last five-game sample size, which is a good part of the season, I'm not trying to be too critical, but it would be BJ. He was the one that everybody was upset about. He was the one that everybody criticized. He was the one that got the lion's share of the blame for this season, and a much, you know, to Cal also just to keep forcing him the ball. So that's a big reason why I'm glad that he's turned around his season. But essentially, the winning player here was going to come from switching out BJ Boston. So a guard. It's just which guard. Which guard was going to be the one, as good as Anthony Davis is. They looked at Malik Monk and Jamal Murray. Great scores, not enough of a defensive upgrade, okay? And on the flip side, what about Tyler Ulis or John Wall? Two legendary Kentucky point guards. Apparently, the offensive numbers weren't good enough. The defensive numbers, perfect. That'll get you in. He said the best choice had to be someone that was great at both offense and defense. No surprise, but how are you going to find a guard that's not John Wall that does that? Well, who would have thought, but the player that would have made a difference, the biggest difference on this Kentucky Wildcats team in terms of possessions, and when I say it, it'll bite click, it was Ashton Hagans' teammate, the reigning SEC Player of the Year, the former New York Knick, Emmanuel Quickley, is the guy that would make the biggest swing on this Kentucky Wildcats team. So, his analysis, Emmanuel Quickley had a 22% usage rate, so 22% of Kentucky's total possessions when Emmanuel Quickley was at Kentucky last year ended with him, like, shot, assist, whatever. And it scored on 1.075 points per possession. 1.075. So 1 point per possession. No ex-Cats scored more points per possession with a usage rate above 20.2%. So anybody with a high usage rate, nobody scored at the effectiveness that Emmanuel Quickley did. Quickley also allowed only 0.7 points per possession as the primary defender. So whenever the shot is up on a defender, like in front of Emmanuel Quickley, he had 0.7 points given up per game. And that's 16% of all the possessions that ended as him as the primary defender. Only John Wall and De'Aaron Fox defended as a higher percentage of possessions. So when you put these numbers all together, when you put them in the big, you know, goofy computer, the logic, you just boop, 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 boop. He was worth, remember, Anthony Davis replacing Olivier Saar, the greatest, arguably the greatest player in Kentucky basketball history. He was worth 3.9 points per game over Olivier Saar. Emmanuel Quickley on this team this year would have been worth 5.1 points per game. I would have never guessed that, and that's why I'm very happy Sean Wenzel took this idea and ran with it, because how would we have ever known that Emmanuel Quickley was worth more on this team than Anthony Davis if you didn't try to put in the words of most deaf, numbers are hard and real, and they never have feelings. And that's what this shows. He would have been 5.1 points per game better with the swap. Considering that UK has lost 6 games by 5 points or fewer, that could be the difference between UK being 11-7. And that was before the Auburn game. So a team that was 5-13, you swap those 6 games, Kentucky would be 11-7. And with the way this team is rolling now, that would have made the difference between Kentucky being where they're at now and a tournament team. It's unbelievable that it's Quickley. And yeah, I know he could shoot three-pointers. What does this team need desperately? Three-point shooting. I get that. Defensively, he was very good. I didn't know he was the third best defensive guard of the Calipari era, but or fourth best guard, whatever you want to call it. I think it said third. It was just behind Wall and Fox. But I just did not expect the numbers to be so grand to the point that he could swing wins and losses that much. But that's why you win SEC Player of the Year. That's why you're one of the candidates for Kentucky Sports Figure of the Year. But if only we got Junior Emmanuel Quickley back, this team would look pretty good. But, you know, he also looks pretty good in the NBA for the New York Knicks. All right, one more break, and I'll come back. We'll wrap up some of the just some of the info that we have throughout the week, and talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, too. Completely, we have not talked about the Super Bowl. Bad game, but we'll see if there's anything worth it. But after that, we'll also talk about the UK coaching change and J.J. Watt and his release. So we'll doing that right around the bend. Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Thank you for joining me on this Valentine's Day. If you're enjoying it, I'm very happy for you. And if it's maybe a little bit of a downer, I hope you're listening and I hope you're having a good time. And you could tweet me all day at Angelo Media Lex. Talk to me about sports. We can talk about Kentucky, NBA, NFL, any of that. If you're feeling down, just follow me. Tweet me out at Angelo Media Lex, and we can have a chat. If you would like to. I don't really have enough time to take any more phone calls at the moment, so let me get down to some news. Kentucky running backs coach Jamal Singleton is moved on from the University of Kentucky. He took the running backs job, and he ended up, I guess, getting an opportunity that he couldn't pass up with the Philadelphia Eagles. and he is now the running backs coach with the Philadelphia Eagles. So it'll be interesting to see who he replaces. A fun little tidbit, he was hired before Liam Cohen was hired as the offensive coordinator. So now Liam Cohen gets to kind of handpick his own running backs coach if he is given such an allowance. So I think that'll be really interesting to find if he can get someone that will help integrate into his system, because I do believe that whenever a new offense, a new system, new everything comes in, that guy does need to handpick the other assistant coaches, the wide receivers, the running backs, because if they all know how this offense is supposed to run from offensive coordinator to quarterbacks coach, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, offensive line, except for tight end, because that's where Vince Merrill coaches and he can do whatever he wants. But when you have that kind of synergy, everybody knows what they need to do. And that is what is singularly important. But thank you for all the memories, Coach Singleton. We'll never forget you. J.J. Watt was released by the Houston Texans upon his request. J.J. Watt, one of the best defensive players of all time. If it wasn't for injuries, I think he probably would have gone down as the best defensive player of all time. And I know that Lawrence Taylor exists. Get off my back when you hear that. J.J. Watt, he had played in his first 5 years in the league, he played all 16 games, and he made first-team All-Pro, including three Defensive Player of the Year awards in that span from 2012 to 2015, including years where he had 39 tackles for loss, 20.5 sacks, 17.5 sacks. And then the other time he played up until this year, 16 games in the season, he also made first-team All-Pro. This was the first year where he didn't. And I think a big part of that was because, he played 91% of the snaps this year. So he just wasn't as acclaimed. Only 5 sacks, only 14 tackles for loss. I still find that J.J. Watt has value. I am still a J.J. Watt guy in the sense of, boy, do I want him in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Think J.J. Watt probably is going, and here are my two guesses, and they're the most obvious, so I'm not breaking any ground here, but I think Pittsburgh would be his first destination. I think if he came into Pittsburgh as a rotational defensive lineman, because I do believe that he probably wants to play with his brother, and I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure Derek Watt, their other brother, is a fullback for Pittsburgh, so I could see them all wanting to be together. And if the Pittsburgh Steelers can financially make it work, I think that that's where he'll want to end up. But let's say Pittsburgh says, look, TJ, we love your brother, but we just don't have room. We signed Stephon Tuitt to this huge deal. We signed Cam Hayward to this huge deal. He's just another defensive end in that. We need to allocate it elsewhere. And TJ says, well, I'm a big boy. I guess I can handle it. Get J.J. Watt in Green Bay, Wisconsin with Aaron Rodgers. Get him on that defensive line with Kenny Clark, with Za'Darius Smith, Kentucky's finest, rushing off that edge. Maybe I'll get to see Green Bay make another Super Bowl before it's far too late. That would make me happy. You know what else makes me happy? A Kentucky win against Auburn. And I hope it makes you happy, too. I hope that this is the turning around point for our year. It's going to get a little snowy, but maybe the Cats can kind of turn out the season good, and we can get into the summer with some happy faces. Thank you for listening. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, and streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. You make it look like it's magic. Oh, yeah. 'Cause I see nobody but you. I'm never confused.